Get all the Masterforce outdoor power equipment you need to maintain your yard at Menards. Own the outdoors with Masterforce 80-volt power equipment, delivering all the power of gas without the maintenance. The entire 80-volt line is powered by brushless motors for ultimate performance and productivity. From lawnmowers to leaf blowers, string trimmers, and more, find everything you need to create the lawn of your dreams with Masterforce power equipment at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
I walk a straight line, shackle and chain. Oh, gruesome Gertie is calling my name. There is no mercy in this penitentiary. Just ask the Hillstring Gang, Rango the Three.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to Bloody
Angola,
a podcast 142 years in the making.
The complete story of America's bloodiest prison.
And I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Overton.
And we're going to talk to y'all a little bit about some amazing programs that take place in Angola today. It's going to be a little different episode. No murder stuff going on today.
Right. Well, it's got a lot of death in it.
It does.
But not necessarily murder. Some of them, I'm sure, were murders, but
yeah,
that occurred inside the wire.
That's a great point.
But you know, ultimately, none of us are getting out of this life alive.
That's right.
And you know, always talk about almost 6,000 inmates and how 80% of them are going to die inside the wire. Well, think about that, y'all. If you get sentenced to life in Angola, let's say you're 20 years old, and you know you're going to have family members and that care and love you, care about you and love you and all that stuff. But over the years, what happens? You know, your mom and your daddy going to die, your grandparents going to die, your siblings going to have lives of their own, and life goes on and we've heard so many times that the inmates say everybody forgets about them. And if you live another 50 years in Angola, then really you don't have anybody to care about you on the outside anymore. But the people that you're locked up with basically become your family and your best friends.
That's right. And, a lot of these people are probably the vast majority are locked up for things that are just horrific. And right. You don't end up in Angola for life if you were an altar boy.
Right.
So, in a lot of cases, family maybe turned their backs on them and was the black sheep of that family or whatever. And they don't have anybody to pay those respects at the end of their life. And so they get buried at Angola in the prison.
Right.
And so we're going to go into a little bit of that information. And Point Lookout Cemetery is the prison cemetery in Angola. It's located on the north side of Angola. It's kind of at the base of the Tunica Hills. And this is obviously a situation where what we just told you about, family members are also deceased, or there's just no family members that want anything to do with
right. Or maybe they don't have the financial means to come and claim the body when the inmate dies, you know, and so they're forgotten about. But, you know, Louisiana has the highest incarceration rate of any U.S. state. And, of course, sentencing is extremely harsh. But at Angola, 73% of the 6,250 inmates are serving sentences of life without parole. So the average sentence for the remaining 27% that aren't serving life without is still 90.9 years. And prisoners,
it's pretty much a lie.
Right. So prisoners aren't even sent to Angola unless their sentence is over 50 years. And y'all, I believe that's more likely 80 years, like I said in the past. So y'all, basically the result of this is, you know, with sentences of this length, most inmates lose touch with the family members, and there's no one to collect the remains when they die.
This prison has been around a long time. It's, you know, go back and listen to the walls and how Angola got started. But Angola has been around forever, and 142 years, yeah, in right. the making, if you want to get specific. And during that time, they did have another cemetery. And Woody's going to kind of give you a little heads up on what happened with that.
Well, the first Angola cemetery got destroyed by a flood in 1927. Now, y'all remember, Angola's surrounded by the Mississippi River on three sides. And every few years, it grows outside of his bank and floods everything. But in 1927, when the flood happened and the water receded, the remains and caskets were found along the levee. Oof. And it was impossible to identify anyone. And the bodies were reburied in a mass grave in a new cemetery called Point Lookout. It was about 2 acres, but it was full by the mid-1990s. It contained 331 marked graves and an unknown number of people in the mass grave. An annex, Point Lookout 2, is now in use, and it has a capacity of 700 plots. Approximately 100 of those graves now have been filled, and with the aging inmate population, it will likely max out
near future.
In the past, convicts were buried basically in cardboard boxes, y'all. And today, thanks to Warden Kane, the deceased are buried in coffins made at the prison wood shops by an inmate master carpenter. That's his only job, y'all. These handmade caskets are constructed of brown stained birch and pine, and it takes about a week to make just one. Other inmates make the shrouds for the coffins. But I want to read you a quote of what Burl Kane said. He said, "Once a man dies, his sentence is complete, and there should be dignity in the passing." Warden Burl Kane.
There you go. And you've heard us mention Warden Burl Kane before. And I can't wait till we, you know, in the future, we're going to do an episode centered completely around Warden Kane, because, you know, like every other human being in the world, he had faults in his life, but be hard pressed to find a more respected warden than Warden Kane. And I'm talking nationally.
Right.
This guy is well known to people that aren't even in the prison circles. So that tells you who he was. Absolutely. And still alive today, and runs the Mississippi correctional, the entire correctional system for the state of Mississippi. Right. So I don't mean to talk as if he's not with us anymore, sure. But.
And y'all, I've known him for over 30 years. I worked for him, at Dixon Correctional Institute. He is a very religious man, but he's a no-nonsense man. But he actually cares about the prisoners. As strange as that sounds, he cares about them, and he wants to give them dignity even in death.
Yes.
And he was very instrumental in bringing all the changes to Angola, from health care to prison inmate programs and give them hope and stuff like that. But he specifically cares about them in death. And even the executions, he stands with them. He eats their last meal, where he used to, when he was at Angola, he would eat the last meal with them, whatever they chose. And, you know, he was there with them when they took their last breath.
100%. And I'll tell you a quick story about how Burl Kane transformed this, not only the caskets themselves, but the entire process of conducting a funeral for these Angola inmates. When he was in his first year at Angola, they had a burial for one of the prisoners that he attended. And at that burial, they were lowering the prisoner into the ground. And at this time, they were essentially crates with cardboard.
Basically like a cardboard box, a big,
yes,
big long cardboard box that housed the body.
So they're lowering this inmate down, and the bottom fell out of the cardboard box. And if that wasn't bad enough, as they started piling dirt on top, the top end of the cardboard casket collapsed. So in Burl Kane's eyes, this has got to change. It was a total loss of dignity.
Right, dignity there.
And yeah, so at that point, he seeked out who was considered the best carpenter in Angola, talked to him and said, look, we want you to kind of head this new program where we're going to build caskets for the prisoners. And the guy was more than willing to do it, obviously. And off they went with the casket building that has become world renowned. And right, we'll tell you a little bit later about some people you may have heard of that have actually been buried in caskets built by prisoners in Angola.
Right. Now think about this, y'all. Everybody that gets sentenced to Angola, well, I can't say everybody, but a lot of them have certain crafts that they're masters of before they went in. And this guy was a master carpenter. But, I mean, you have electricians, you have lawyers, you have doctors, you have painters, whatever, right? But the Burls sought out the best carpenter. And I know they have a lot of them, but he sought out the best carpenter to make these caskets. Now, that I know we're going to talk about more in detail, but think about how much a casket costs. It costs you like $7,000-$8,000 for a general casket for a funeral now. But think about how much it would cost you to have a handcrafted, custom-made, just beautiful piece of artwork so you can go to eternal rest in it.
100%. And he also instituted some other programs.
So in 1998, Burl, the funeral process, just taking a casket out there, even though it was hand-built and all that in the back of a pickup truck, that still is not like a funeral procession. So in 1998, he had inmates build a black horse-drawn hearse modeled after an 1800s vintage funeral coach for use during the burial rites. And now, y'all, this hearse is beautiful piece of artwork in itself, and it's pulled by two large white Persian horses. The hearse is driven by an inmate dressed in black tailcoat and a black high hat, which were also made in Angola in the sewing shop. And six pallbearers follow the coach on the road to the cemetery and assist with the burial. Inmate ministers conduct the service, and the living traditionally send the departed away with a cappella rendition: I'm free, praise the Lord, I'm free, no longer bound, no more chains holding me, my soul is resting, it's just a blessing, praise the Lord, hallelujah, I'm free.
Yeah, it's a sight to be seen, really, these horse-drawn carriages, and so much respect is put into that. And you may ask yourself, we're talking here about two cemeteries now that have been built since the one in 1927 flooded. And why is that such an issue? Well, to tell you a little bit about the issues, not only with Angola, but any prison in the country, most likely that's a maximum security prison, is most people that are sent there. It's horrific crimes that they're going to spend a lot of their life, if not the majority, if not all of their life there. And it's caused a problem. The rise in lengthy mandatory sentences that have really come along as of late has caused a big boom in lifers in prison. Right. As a matter of fact, there's about 2.1 million lifers in the United States right now compared to about 500,000 in 1980.
But yeah, I'm going to tell you this, Jim. In 1991, when I was studying criminal justice at Southeastern, the incarceration rate for the whole United States was only like 700,000 people. Now there's millions, and we do lead the world in locking people up. And that a large percent of that are people who are going to die in prison.
Yeah, so it has caused quite an issue when it comes to what do you do with these people when they die. Not everybody gets cremated. You know, some may choose to get cremated. But a lot of inmates now, because the health care is so much better in the prison systems than it used to be, you know, they're living a while, you know, 70, 80 years old, and then they die from natural causes. And as a matter of fact, that has risen over 40%, the death from natural causes in the last 10 years. So that's why they're having to add to these graveyards and all of that. And I would imagine family isn't what it used to be with collecting. I don't know if the right term is collecting these prisoners after their death, but claiming the bodies.
But it was being, again, they're down for so long, you know, people die. Their family members die, or they just lose touch, or like you said, they don't want to have anything to do with them. Well, then the burden falls back on the state. Now, certainly, they could just bury them in the mass grave. There's no rules on that, no laws on it. They don't have to do anything. They could just cremate every one of them if they wanted to. But Burl Cain took it to the next level.
Yeah, he really did. And the coffins, just another thing on Burl Cain, now that we've mentioned him, is Burl Cain was also a kind of a businessman in Angola. And what I mean by that is he watched the dollars and cents and all of that. He really was an important part of how he ran a prison. And one thing he figured out early on was that these flimsy cardboard crates, essentially, that they were burying these prisoners in, it was costing anywhere from $650 to $900 a piece to bury these guys. Well, he figured out he went to that carpenter that we mentioned earlier, and he said, look, what about $250? You think he can make a – and the guy said, yeah, I can make one. And he wasn't paying the prisoner $250. Right. Well,
the state's paying him.
He was like saying how much would it cost for the wood and and the nails and things like that. And it came up to be an average cost of about $250. So not only did he give him a more dignified – beautiful coffin that was handmade and around their specifications, but he also saved about $400 a burial in the process.
Right. Yeah, that's crazy. And Burl, it was a big champion of making Angola as self-reliant and I guess you call it self-producing as you can, everything from the vegetables in the field to making license plates to whatever, right? Try to make it where it pays for itself.
That's right. And another reason why prisoners, convicts loved Warden Cain was, you know, when you do things like that, that's a respect thing with them. And it's obvious that Cain respected them.
Probably respect is something they never got in their entire lives.
Yeah. Right. So, so very beloved warden of Angola and still active today in the system. So now another thing that we want to bring up with regard to the burials is kind of the process of taking care of these guys before they die. Now there's hospice, you know, if you're a free person,
Right.
You have hospice when you get cancer at some point. Right. You have to get, or Alzheimer's or all these things, but you're not immune to that in prison.
Right. That's right. And,
you know?
And they have, I mean, you certainly, the prisoners have get cancer or
Alzheimer's.
Whatever. Alzheimer's, every type of disease that free people get. I mean, it's there.
Well, yeah, and you may be surprised to know that Angola has probably the top hospice center in the country,
right,
relative to the prison system. Right.
And they use the majority of that care is given by inmates, other inmates to That's the right. dying inmates. And so there's a respect thing there. And certainly they become attached to the people who are dying, even if they didn't know them throughout their prison career.
That's exactly right. And that was another brainstorm by Warden Kane, and that was to start a hospice care system. He already had a treatment center there, a medical center, right, for your obvious injuries that you get every day in prison, whether you're getting shanked or...
Yeah, but back in the old episodes when they say broken backs and
shit. Yeah, so you're getting like the bat applied to right. you. So they had a treatment center, and they realized that one thing they lacked was a hospice center, especially as cancer became more prevalent and Alzheimer's really reared its ugly head. And you were having to deal with these inmates in a totally different way. So,
and basically, like we said, the average lifespan of an inmate grew tremendously. And the longer you live, certainly the higher percentage of chance that you're going to contract some type of disease or illness.
Yeah, 100%. And, he did what he does, and that's he went to his inmate trustees, and he said he needed volunteers for a hospice unit to assist the medical staff there. And tons of these trustees volunteered. This was something to them that was an honor to get involved with. And he actually, they had seminars for weeks and weeks and weeks on how to deal with hospice patients. Yeah. So you have these inmates that are in Angola, maybe serving life themselves for murder, and they were taking care of these cancer patients.
And probably some of the best trained hospice caregivers in the world.
There's no doubt. And he didn't stop there. He even went as far as to have sessions that were devoted to managing like personal stress and working through the bereavement process with families.
Right.
'Cause you got to remember, some of these inmates still had families that, visited them every visit day, and they were, going to miss this person when they died, and they're going through cancer or whatever it is. And so they actually even had certification classes on how to deal with family members. So you'd have these convicts actually counseling the family.
Grief counselors.
Yeah, exactly. And
stages of grief.
100%. One of the most well-known hospice care individuals was Wilbert Redu, who is the
award-winning
Angolite editor. Yeah, an amazing writer and very, very well-known in Angola and all of that. So, one thing that we definitely wanted to impress on today is the care that Angola takes with that population. It is their own little world there, even down to their burials, even down to the hospice care treatment that they receive. You would think these guys get Alzheimer's and they're just in their cell not knowing who they are anymore. But very similar to what you would get, not quite the facilities and things that you would get on the outside, but state of the art for a prison.
Right. And certainly the care level, the respect given to them, and they could just lock them away and let them die, like you said, in a cell, but they didn't do that.
Yeah, and an interesting stat for you to kind of chart down in your mental brain is nearly three times, just last year, nearly three times as many inmates died at Angola as made parole.
Really?
So three out of four died in Angola. So you've got to bury those folks or cremate them or whatever You know, I don't know really who gets it. I would imagine the convict gets the choice of whether he wants to be buried or cremated. But if anybody knows out there, maybe comment on it. Let us know. That would be interesting. Now, one recent trend is in the favor of building like geriatric prisons, mm-hmm. where actually it's a prison centered only for older prisoners. Right. They've even had, Woody, some recent success, and this is nationwide, not just Angola, but with, if you're a prisoner, you're 85, you get Alzheimer's, right. they slap an ankle bracelet on you and let you go home. Right. You know, I don't know what everybody's feeling or all the listeners feeling would be on that, but if they're considered absolutely no risk anymore to society and they're even 6 months away from death
and confined to wheelchairs and, you know, the mentally they're gone, stuff like that. Why it would be much cheaper for the state to
bingo
let them go, not let them go. Cause you know, certainly they'll be monitored to a certain extent, but it's a hell of a lot cheaper than housing them and paying for the medical care yourself.
You just hit the nail on the head, and you're exactly right. It costs about $3,200 a year for an ankle bracelet to be applied to a geriatric prisoner versus, you know, over $10,000 a year it would cost to house one.
Right.
So if it's someone who had psychological and emotional damage, you know, basically to where they had like Alzheimer's or, and they're no harm to society.
I mean, you can monitor them.
85-year-old guy that.
Yeah. And they're electronically monitored. If they go outside their geofencing area, which I mean, you're 85, I doubt that's going to happen, but if they do, then probation parole gets alerted and they can go check in on them.
Yeah. And another interesting stat for you that you may want to write down as well. And this is from 2011, but in 2011, which is the last time this stat was released that I could find, state and federal prisons were housing approximately 100,000 inmates over the age of 55. So,
hell, I'm almost that old.
Yeah. And you're still in the free world, well, Woody, every day.
Trying every day.
That's right. So so that was some really interesting stuff. And so from there, you know, Angola's got this state-of-the-art hospice system. They've got these caskets that are just absolutely beautiful that you may, you know, at least consider a dignified burial if you're a convict. There's some pretty well-known people that have been buried in these. One of those being Billy Cannon.
Right.
LSU, we talked about him.
First one to ever win the Heisman for LSU and then would spend his career at Angola.
Yeah.
Helping inmates
and work, you know, he was a dentist by trade and eventually he led up the entire medical department at Angola.
Right.
Because he was such a leader. And when he passed away, he requested, and it was one of his dying wishes, that he be buried in a casket built by the Angola inmates. So not only were they totally honored to do that for him, meaning the convicts, but they also paid for it.
Right. That's right.
Out of their own money.
Out of their own inmate fund. And y'all, that casket was seen by thousands of people at the memorial service.
Yeah. And, of course, Billy Cannon being buried at the, what's known as the PMAC. Well, that wasn't where he's buried, but where his visitation was at the PMAC. And, the only person I'm familiar with that had a visitation at the PMAC. I mean, that's
I've never heard of that before.
Yeah.
So, I mean, probably tens of thousands that came to pay their respects, and every one of them saw the casket that was built by and paid.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Four by convicts.
That's right. And we'll tell you about another famous one, famous individual that was also buried in an Angola casket that was built by convicts. And that was the Reverend Billy Graham.
That's crazy to think about.
It's unbelievable. And, you know, I'm going to tell you the story of how that came about. But first, I don't even want to say for those of you that ain't familiar with the Reverend Billy Graham, because I can't imagine one person that's never heard of that
guy.
I'm
pretty sure Billy Graham had a straight line to heaven.
I'm going to tell you what, he was an amazing, amazing person that I didn't know personally, obviously, but, just following his life. And this is a man that had, could have as many millions as he wanted.
Oh, yeah. He could have been Jimmy Swagger and built colleges.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And everything else. But he just
lived in a small house.
Right. He's a humble man and dedicated his life to God.
That's right. So he's not from Louisiana.
Right.
So you may wonder, well, how the heck did Billy Graham end up in a casket by Angola inmates? Well, his son actually visited Angola. His name is Franklin Graham. And as he was touring Angola, he ended up in the casket room, is what they call it, where they're building these caskets. And he was absolutely blown away. Could not believe what he saw. Thought it was the most beautiful caskets ever made. And on the spot, he asked the casket maker, "I would like to order two of these, one," and this is going to sound a little bit morbid, "one for my mom and one for my dad," and they were still alive. Right. But he was so blown away from them. He's like, "I want to go ahead. I'll pay for them right now. Right. And when they pass away, we won't have to worry about caskets or picking anything out. I want something simple. And my dad would love this."
Right. And that's something that, as a son, I can respect that, because you can go to any funeral parlor and buy some mass made type, whatever casket, but he saw the care and the ornate woodwork and the love that was put in these casket making. He was like, "I want that for my mom and dad." That tells you what kind of awesomeness these caskets are.
Yeah. Yeah, just, to set your eyes on them just would blow you away, the simplicity and beauty.
And I'm pretty sure Billy Graham could have got any free casket from anybody in the world.
In the world. He could have got a gold casket.
Right? He could have had a solid gold casket.
Yeah.
But he wanted, or his son wanted him to have caskets built in Angola.
Yeah, so he went home and of course, told his mom and dad about this. Yeah. And his dad thought it was the most beautiful gesture ever, because it fit him perfectly. It fit his wife, Ruth, perfectly. Right. And these are simple, stained, beautiful caskets that have a cross, basically formed into them on the top. Right. And so there's nothing that you would look at and it would be, "Oh, look at the shiny gold," or "look at
the brass,
simple beauty,"
or
no brass on the side. It's just it's all made of wood and handcrafted and lathed and sanded just to this almost ice skating rink.
Probably I wonder how many hours going to building one.
Well, they say that they spend, the casket maker spends 8 hours a day, and it takes about a week for each one. So wow. You're talking about
40 hours.
Yeah.
40 plus hours.
Solid working.
Right.
Yeah. To make one of these beautiful caskets. Of course, Billy Graham had a very full life and a very long life, a blessed life. And he lived actually to the age of 99.
That is y'all. Crazy.
99 years old. He died and was laid to rest after lying in state for 2 days on the U.S. Capitol Rotunda.
So, wow. You talk about Billy Cannon's casket getting to be seen. President saw Billy Graham's and all congressmen and senators and everybody else. 2 days laying in state.
2 days laying in state.
In an angle.
Millions of people, you know, because it was televised.
That's right. So you might have, yeah, if you saw Billy Graham laying in state, you saw an angle of casket.
That's exactly right. And another interesting thing about Franklin Graham when he went to Angola, you know, he was really blown away by the history, much like you and me, Woody. He loved history and apparently prison history, but especially as it relates to religion. And Angola, as we've talked about, you know, you probably don't have more churches on a prison than Angola. Right. A lot of that, again, credit to Burl Cain, who really is credited with bringing religion to Angola. But when Franklin Graham visited, he noticed everything from the beauty of the pews in these churches inside Angola and all the woodwork, which, you know, obviously goes into building a casket as well. And he even noticed the steeple for one of the churches was, you know, one of these high up steeples, and it from death row. If you looked out of one of the windows in death row, it would be directly in front of the steeple. And that was never necessarily intended.
Yeah.
It just kind of worked out that way.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. And it was the perfect placement for that steeple. Because as you look out that window, the way he described it is all you saw was a cross.
Right.
Pretty powerful stuff. So he was very touched by Angola, and obviously that is evidenced in the fact that he purchased the caskets for his parents from Angola. But what a story that is. So we always want to bring you something different on Bloody Angola, and that's something that's different and unique about.
Right. And we'll bring you more on Jim and I are going to go to Angola, and everything we're talking about, and we'll be able to bring you more information on it because we see with our own two eyes, right?
Yeah, we're not going to tell you exactly when we're going, but we're going to do an episode.
Security.
We're not going to tell you, not give you that. But when we get back from that trip, we're going to give you an episode centered around our trip. So we're going to tell you all about it. Right. And it's going to be an episode just on everything we did and who showed us around, what we learned, what we saw.
Right. And I can assure you we're going to the casket shop. Casket
absolutely right.
The casket, but the place where they build the caskets, and Point Lookout,
yes,
cemetery. I want to stand there.
I want to see everything.
Yeah, me too.
We'll see everything. So look for that episode soon. And I want to give you another little quick story. I thought y'all might find this interesting, and it's you know, we've been talking about prison cemeteries today, obviously with Angola, and I thought it'd be kind of cool to tell one from something away from Angola, but definitely very historical and definitely a prison cemetery. And I want to tell you about one in Yuma, Arizona, and you might be familiar with Yuma, old West Times, right? Six shooters, pow. Yeah, draw it.
610 Yuma, I think that.
You
ever see that?
Yeah.
That was a good movie.
I've seen that. So you may wonder, back in those days, did they have prison cemeteries? And they absolutely did. And I'm going to tell you about this one in Yuma. There were a total of about 111 prisoner deaths that occurred within that prison. This is during kind of the Wild West times, y'all. And a total of 104 of those persons were buried at the cemetery in Yuma. So the bodies of the other seven prisoners, those got claimed by the family.
Right.
So think about that, y'all. Out of 111 prisoners, 104 of them, nobody wanted back.
Right.
Or they didn't even realize they were dead or where they were. I mean, this is Wild West times.
Yeah, it wasn't like they had social media and say,
yeah, they don't have email.
Come get your loved one.
That's right. I mean, it was literally Pony Express back then if you found anything out. So I'm going to tell you about a guy named Pete Devereaux. And Pete Devereaux was a convict that on his way to Yuma tried to escape by jumping off the train. So he was going to Yuma prison. He couldn't deal with it, jumped off the train, hit his head on a rock on the way down, and died.
That hurt.
Yeah. So that was the 112th death that you won't hear about from Yuma. But only one female died in prison.
Right.
Okay. And her name was Pearl Eicher. There's not a whole lot of research on her, but people do wonder about, you know, didn't females commit crimes in those days? And yes, they did, but only one on record died in prison.
Only Jim Chapman can find this
out. I'm telling you, I was digging. Now, burials were simple and quick. So I was wondering about burials, and a shallow grave was dug where a wooden casket containing the body was lowered. They would cover that with dirt and overlay it with rocks.
Yeah.
They didn't have like the crosses. Yeah. Which incidentally at Angola's, cemetery, they do have the cement crosses for every prisoner that marks where their grave is. So you may wonder what some of these prisoners died from. And this may or may not surprise you, but the majority of those prisoners died from tuberculosis.
Really?
Yeah. Wyatt Earp.
Yeah.
He wasn't a prisoner, but he died. At least that's what Tombstone, my favorite movie.
And send him to Colorado to the cemetery.
Yeah. I'm your Huckleberry.
I'll be your Huckleberry.
Johnny Ringo.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that movie, y'all. But 46 prisoners died of tuberculosis, which is known as consumption. They used to blame it on drinking alcohol.
Really? Yeah, you know that when I worked for the Department of Corrections, I had to get TB tested. And what they do is they give you a shot in your arm, and you have to come back a couple of days later. And if you have a bump, guess what? You shit out of luck. You got the TB. Now, TB is a very real thing in prison to this day.
Yes.
Close kind. You think about COVID, but TB is like the original COVID, I would guess.
That's right. My wife has to get a TB shot every year because she works at a hospital, and they take a chance of coming in contact with people with tuberculosis. So they have to get checked for that every year and get vaccinated or whatever for it. Interesting thing is they figured out over time that tuberculosis was not caused by alcohol, and they figured out it was more caused by people living in close quarters, like you're speaking of, a prison.
Right. Good thing it's not caused by alcohol. I've probably been there a long time ago.
So they figured that out. And of course, one of the ways that they figured that out, so if y'all were ever wondering how they discovered tuberculosis was people in close quarters, it was the majority of people that were getting it were locked up in prisons.
Yeah.
And they were like, wait a minute, there's some commonality here. So, and in Yuma prison, 46 of them, that's what they died in. So most of the grave markers at Yuma prison, they remained intact until about 1950. Since then, all of them were kind of taken by souvenir hunters. Think about it. You see a gravestone that says Yuma on it.
Right.
You know, these souvenir hunters would steal them. And then a lot of them just deteriorated over time.
Yeah.
I mean, 100 years, and that's some pretty old cement back in those days. And they were typically made from either cement, like we just mentioned, or sometimes slabs of wood.
Yeah.
It would just be wood that was burned and Here lies
Johnny Joe.
Johnny Joe. He fell and stumped his toe.
Something like that. And he'd be here no more.
And he'd be here no more. I'm telling you, that's how they used to mark them things.
Those probably got taken. Johnny Joe's probably got taken.
No doubt about it. So they would, and actually they would mark at Yuma specifically the prisoner's name, number, and the date of death. Right. So they wouldn't even have the birth on there.
I'm pretty sure that there are no theft of headstones from Angola from Point Lookout.
Yeah,
being that's inside the wire.
Yeah, ain't nobody looking to take that risk. They might end up in there.
Yeah, that's right.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Yeah, but they, you know, great robbery is still a very big thing to this.
Oh, it's huge.
So, you know.
Look,
don't bury me within it. I don't wear jewelry anyway, but if I had it, I don't want to be buried. But then thank God I don't have any gold teeth.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. What kind of sick bastard does it take to dig up a grave?
I'm going to tell you, and then to take a gold tooth or, I mean, some of these people probably buried with, you know, nice watches and wedding rings. But I mean, you got to be the lowest of the low, right?
It's not like you know what's in there. Yeah, you know, it's a potluck. You're going around in the middle of the night digging up graves, hoping you can find a gold tooth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bro, get a job.
Yeah. Yeah, get a job, man. What are you doing?
Grave robber.
And I'll tell you what, speaking of that, Woody, they just had in Denham Springs, they had a situation where they just destroyed about 10, I guess it's headstones that sit up on the graveyard here, and just tipped them over, broke them, a vandal.
Right.
And I'm like, man.
What disrespect.
Bruh. You got problems.
Yeah. I worked a case that just popped in my mind. And it was in Tangipahoa Parish where the family members kept going out and putting flowers and little mementos on the graves, and they always come up missing. And, you know, tracked it back to a lady probably about my age in her mid-50s, and she would go out there and steal the items off the graves, and she was a hoarder. She had them all stashed in her house.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, there's probably a mental illness there.
There's got to be. And so you may wonder, can you visit the Yuma Cemetery to this day, the Territorial Prison Cemetery, they called it? And you can. It's on South Levy Road in Yuma, Arizona. So if you're in the Yuma area,
go check it out.
And you can also visit the Angola Cemetery at certain times. You'll have to get in touch with Angola to find out when. Or when we get back, we'll tell you. How about that?
So
we appreciate y'all listening. We wanted to bring you something this week. It's been a busy week for Woody Overton. He has on Friday, which would be tomorrow. Is the Real Life Real Crime Crew Bash.
Starts, right?
Yeah.
It's a Friday night VIP event, Saturday night the main event, and the tickets are on sale at eventbrite.com for both. You can do one or both nights. You can just go to the VIP Friday night event, which we're having a huge auction for LOPA, or you can buy the tickets for both nights through the VIP. Or you can just buy the Saturday night event.
So let's go through it real quick. On the Friday night, what do we have going on?
Friday night, I'm going to go in and take pictures and sign autographs with everybody that's there. We got lifers already in from all over the United States. A lot of them take this like a vacation week and come to South Louisiana and hang out, and it culminates with the crew bash. But so Friday night, it's more of an intimate setting, a couple hundred people, and I get to spend time with everybody, and we drink, and then we have so many donations that people donate, everything from diamond necklaces and earrings to cooking pots to wreaths to whatever.
Tons of stuff,
iPads and iWatches and all this stuff. And I'm going to get on the stage later on in the night after we had quite a few. Oh, and including 2 hog hunts being auctioned off with me, yours truly.
Hell yeah.
Where you get, come stay at my place. Now, last year when I was on stage, I had a little bit to drink, and somebody said I should auction off a hog hunt, and then the money started going up, and we got up in the thousands. And I said, hell, for that much, you can sleep with me. And I didn't mean with me. I meant in my house.
Right. Yeah. And,
but so that's going to go on, and even Chase Tyler's going to be there, the two-time Louisiana Country Music Hall and Fame inductee.
One of my favorites.
Hanging out as a fan with his wife. But you, if you want to meet him, he'll be there. And it's just going to be a blowout, chill time Friday night, an intimate gathering. Because Saturday night, the crew bash, it's going to be packed, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to take the stage and do a live, never before heard interactive adult podcast. And if you've been to the crew bash before, you know what that means. you know what it means on Sunday morning when you hit. More importantly, we're celebrating justice for Courtney Coco.
Amen.
And the conviction of David Anthony Burns after 18 years for her murder, the cold case we solved on Real Life Real Crime. And we're celebrating all the awards we won this year, the podcast awards, and my 53rd birthday will be at midnight. And Chase Tyler's going to play. And Chase Tyler Band's going to rock after I get done with my show. But we also, when I get done with the show, and you'll be on the stage with me, brother, because you've done it again, we're doing our big raffle draw for LOPA, Louisiana Procurement Agency. We've raised money, a lot of money for them the last couple of years. I'm hoping to do that again this year. But we're going to have the drawings for all the big prizes. And Local Leaders Podcast is one of the donors, one of the many. And it's just going to be fire.
Look, it really is. And I've been to every one of the crew bash. Yeah. And I can tell you, number one, prepare your liver.
Right. Yeah.
Drink plenty of water before and after, even in between.
Yeah, they got this hydration package.
Yeah. Yeah.
It liquid IV.
Liquid IV. That's right.
Yeah. Y'all should sponsor us.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's a free plug for them. And I'll tell you, it is a absolute blast. You're there with, nothing but true crime fans. Yeah,
and it's like family. And
yeah,
everybody's chill. Everybody's there to party and have a good time.
And it is. It's a great time amongst, the hundreds and hundreds of your best friends, right? Look forward to seeing any and all of you there. There's still tickets available. You can get them through Eventbrite, and you can get those links on any of the – just trust me, go to Real Life Real Crimes Facebook. You'll find the link.
And the LOPA raffle tickets, the links are there also.
We love LOPA.
You don't have to be present to win the Saturday night, the big prize drawings. Friday night, you do have to be present to win or to bid on any of the auction items.
Yeah, those would be live auctions, and they're always a hit.
Yeah.
And this is good stuff, y'all. Right. We ain't giving away jelly of the month.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the jelly of the month. Clark, that's a gift. Keep them giving all year long. Right. But thank you for everybody that's coming and everybody that's already here. It's crazy. But what I want to do, Jim, is flip it back for a second. I want to thank our Patreon members for blessing.
Absolutely.
The you don't know what it means to us. This is ultimately, this is a business, and we have expenses and things cost, and we could not do these shows without y'all. And we hope you're enjoying your bonus episodes and your benefits.
Yeah, you've got everything from commercial free early releases, right, which are a huge deal. If you're listening to this episode, it's definitely Wednesday because we release it on Thursdays to our non-patron members. So if you're listening to it commercial free right now, it's on a Wednesday, and you're getting that as a benefit for being a patron member and supporting us. There's benefits from there, including bonus episodes from time to time. And look, you get complete full transcripts, with some of those upper level tiers. And those are not cheap. Mm-hmm. We actually use the best transcription company. They transcribe these by hand.
Right. You know, we, it, we don't even have that for real life, real crime. I don't know of another true crime, although this is a true crime documentary. I guess you would classify Bloody Angola. But I don't know of another true crime show that does it.
Yeah, and so I'll tell you, it's something where me and Woody got these good Southern accents, and the problem with that is nobody can translate transcribe us right.
I can't even transcribe my own shit.
Right. So the people that actually do this, they do it by hand. It's not a machine, so there's no errors in it. Right. You can literally print that thing out, and it's in PDF form.
Right.
As a Patreon member, you get the PDF version of this. You can print it out, and it's just like reading a book.
Yeah.
And
I have had, in the 5 years of Real Life or Crime, numerous people reach out to me about that. I never pursued it. And you had numerous people reach out to us about it, and you pursued it. So props off to, hats off to you for that.
Tons of people just said they like reading better than listening.
There's also people who are deaf.
Yes.
And can't hear it.
That's right.
And so that's a big deal.
Huge benefit for them. And all those benefits are yours on our Bloody Angola Patreon page. So important to what we do here. We couldn't freaking do it without
tell them how to
these
sign
members.
Up for Patreon or go look it up.
Yeah. So you can, there's several ways you can do that. You can go to the Bloody Angola Facebook page, and there's a link tree on the homepage there. You'll see it'll say LNKTREE. You click that and it'll pull up the various links to get our media. The very first link you see will say Patreon page, or say Chase Team. You click on that, that'll bring you to the Patreon page, or you can just go to www.patreon.com/BloodyAngolaPodcast. And that will bring you right to the Patreon.
And it has all the different tier levels.
It does.
What the benefits are, what the subscription fee is a month. And we even have a yearly subscription fee now.
Yes.
Where you save money.
Two months off with that annual subscription. And so, you know, you save 2 months off of what we would consider already very fair pricing for what you're getting out of that Patreon. And look, it's really all love that y'all support what we do here, and we're just trying to continue to build it. Right. Please share Bloody Angola with your family, friends, and even people maybe you don't like.
Right.
You know, if you hadn't rated us yet.
Well, yeah, that's a big deal.
Huge. If you like what we're hearing, please go and leave a rating on wherever you're listening to this. If it's Spotify, Apple Podcast, whatever, it helps other people to find the show. And helps build our following.
Yeah, and that the larger we grow, the more we get to do.
That's right. That's right.
And so we hope you enjoyed it.
Yes.
And we love and appreciate each and every one of y'all. Hey, if you can't be a Patreon member, we get that.
Totally.
We totally get it, and we love you too, right?
That's right. So. That's right. We love anyone that listens to us talk about the history of the bloodiest prison in America.
Absolutely.
And until next time, I'm Jim Chapman.
I'm Woody Overton.
Your host of Bloody
Angola,
a podcast 142 years in the making.
The complete story of America's bloodiest prison.
Peace.
I walk a straight line, shackled and chained. Oh, gruesome Gertie is calling my name. There is no mercy in this penitentiary. Just ask the Hill String Gang, Rango.
Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is a company that's pushing back against this tide. They make high-quality clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more right here in the USA. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com. Promo code STAPLE20.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.